The Tantrum House Board Game Podcast is recorded live from Studio WKRB in Greenville, South Carolina. This podcast is brought to you by our friendly local game store, Boardwalk, purveyors of fine games, Bezier Games, the new classics, Final Frontier Games, bringing friends and families closer together, The Game Steward, your second chance at Kickstarter games, and Game Toppers LLC, upgrading your gaming experience. Your hosts are Prognosticator Supreme, peering into the swirling mist of future Kickstarters and glimpsing the diamonds in the rough. So buckle up, seriously, especially if you're driving right now, because you're about to arrive at the Tantrum House.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the show. Today we got Will Meadows.
Sarah Meadows.
Kevin Delp.
Melissa Delp.
Jonah Du.
Amy Eggs.
And Sidekick Larry.
In the house.
Welcome to another wonderful episode. Hope you all are doing fantastic. We've been having lots of fun playing tons of board games this week. A bunch of prototypes, especially. Sarah and I were knocking those out like... What do you knock out? Butter?
Butter.
I don't think you knock out butter. Knocking it out like home runs.
Oh, no.
We were just knocking them out. That's all we were doing.
But we did get to play a real game.
We did. Maury Povich.
Wow.
Is that right?
No.
That can't be it either.
I don't know how many mispronunciations of this game. I didn't realize there were this many.
Massaparusa.
Mary.
What was it?
Mariposas
from AEG. The butterfly flight of the
monarch
butterfly.
The flight of the monarch butterfly.
Tell us about it.
So in the game, you are some butterflies who are traveling up from Mexico, migrating across the U.S. And along the way, you will have to make sure that your butterflies continue to reproduce and have more generations of butterflies so that you don't die out of the game. And you are landing on flowers along the way, stopping in certain cities, and you'll use the flower tokens that you gain to stop on the milkweed pods.
Which is important.
I learned something that's the only plant that the monarch butterfly caterpillars will eat.
What?
Yeah.
Mariposas.
Yeah. When you reproduce, do you turn into a caterpillar for a while and like go to the slow track or something?
No, you
don't. Well, that's what the picture is on the...
That's what the picture, the milkweed pod picture.
Well, and you're collecting sets too throughout the game.
Yeah,
so quick.
Yeah, so landing on sets of certain flowers will help you...
And get the caterpillar and the pods and all that, so...
Yeah, so you have different generation levels of butterflies, and by the end of the game, there are three sets of goals that you play. There's a spring goal, a summer goal, and then the fall is the end. And
before everyone dies.
Well,
spoilers.
What kind of game was Will playing? It doesn't sound like the same game at all.
It doesn't. No, they just hibernate, or so not hibernate, but there are eggs that make it through the winter so that they hatch in the spring.
So you can
spring.
Play the next time.
Yes. Otherwise, there would be no butterflies ever, Will. They didn't make it through the winter. That's why they go to Mexico, where it's nice and warm.
Mexico.
Yes.
What I find interesting is the goals for each season, how to get points. My first season, I didn't get any points because I was trying to get other things accomplished.
Yeah, you've got a couple different city markers on the board, and you have to. The goals are to like be north of Atlanta or to be west of, I almost said Boston, but yeah, I guess that would work.
It's a real hard one.
Right. And those goals change. So those are randomly every game. So those would be different as well. And then they get, I felt like they got harder. I don't know if that was actually me or if that was just.
Well, the goals kind of push you towards where you kind of need to be heading in the game. But then before the end of fall, you'll get a lot of points if you can get your level 4 butterflies back to Mexico.
Key word is if.
Correct.
Because the last goal
is random.
Is random, and it was different than get back to Mexico.
Right. It was like score or get more butterflies north of Atlanta.
So right. And so you're sort of like competing with that goal a little bit.
Yeah. You got to pick one, capitalize.
Yeah. But the getting back to Mexico was worth many more points than just the couple of points given for being up north where your butterfly didn't make it.
Yes, Sarah and I got the most butterflies back to Mexico,
And we ended up tying and had to go, I think, to the third tiebreaker to finally determine the winner.
Yep. I thought, oh, I have...
Which was me.
Yep. Good job, Melissa.
Way to go.
I thought I had all last round to get all my butterflies back to the bottom, like back down to Mexico. But oh no. Oh no. It takes a lot longer than you think to get those butterflies back.
Yeah, because you have to play cards from your hand that move your butterflies. And some of them might move them five spaces. Others might move them one space or two spaces.
And if you keep drawing those cards... It gets tough. But I think that was the great thing about those final goals is that if you had cards that were, there was no way you were going to get back to Mexico, you could at least try to leverage those other points and score those. I felt like it was a really well-balanced game. I definitely need to play it again with more. I think it played like several more players, didn't it? Two or three more? Maybe not. Was it just a four-player?
I think it goes up to five.
Yeah.
Five? I felt like there was more butterflies in the box. I'd love to try it with more players to see if... It doesn't really matter because you are... You can share spaces.
Mm-hmm. It's definitely five player because we didn't play with one of the colors.
Yeah. But I'd like to see how spread the goal or the point total is with that. I also just really enjoyed the aesthetic of it. The board itself is cool. It's like hex-based map of the eastern half of the U.S. and Mexico. I don't know. It was like a weird, an unusual illustration that I'm not used to seeing. I really enjoyed just the look of it all.
I actually also wanted to let everyone know that this game is going to be available in retail the end of August from AEG. So check that out from AEG or at your local board game store.
And I don't know if we mentioned it or not, but the designer is Elizabeth Hargrave, who designed Wingspan.
So birds eat butterflies. What do butterflies eat?
Milkweed.
Next game. I'm calling it right there. I heard there maybe was some Gloomhaven that made it to the table this week. Is that correct?
Oh, yeah. We did get Gloomhaven to the table. It took a long time to get it to the table.
A long time, yeah. I've heard that it does.
And it was kind of...
We're not laughing at you or laughing at Jonah.
Or me. I think they were still laughing at me.
I'm sure. but yeah, it took a long time to set up. But finally, we made it. It was a learning experience for all involved.
There was a lot of, oh, yeah, and we got to do this. Oh, well, let me go back three pages and read the introduction to this scenario.
Oh, wait, I forgot those cards. Hold on. You got to pick those.
After we read the introduction to the scenario, he's like, oh, I should read you the introduction to the game. Flip back three more pages.
We made it eventually. We made it through the first one.
Now you guys have played Jaws of the Lion.
Yes.
Okay, so
you're working backwards.
Right. But maybe that was good. Maybe that's the ramp up because give us the comparison.
I think it helped playing Jaws of the Lion because it's a lot slimmer. Yeah.
Streamlined.
Yeah.
Jaws of the Lion is the prequel if you read the instructions backstory.
Ooh.
Obviously didn't. Weren't you listening?
I read instructions like Will does.
Sweet. I heard there's good pictures in Gloomhaven. I don't know. Is that
so many pictures?
What characters are you playing? Is it two? Are you guys playing two player or four player?
Four player. Okay. We're actually playing with my parents.
Okay.
I'm the scoundrel.
Okay.
She is a scoundrel. I am the tinkerer.
Is anybody playing Craghart?
No, Craghart. We have a brute.
Yeah,
and
I played
the Spellweaver.
Okay. Brute is like the
tank
character.
I feel like you
have
to have a brute.
Yeah.
If you don't have a brute, you're not going to win. Yeah. This scenario.
I just always, whenever I play that character, I just keep saying, I am brute throughout the character. I am brute.
That's what I was planning to
Good.
Do.
Good. Do it.
That's what you were planning to do. Right. Jordan, did you guys get... Now, you guys actually didn't have time to play games. You may have been relaxing in the White Sands.
We were relaxing this last week. Chantel and I went on a impromptu vacation, and we did not bring any games with us.
What?
To Mexico or butterflies.
I was going to say, some butterflies down
no
there.
No milkweed. Nope. I saw no butterflies.
Missing
nothing.
Out.
But before we left, we played a lot of games, but we like the classics.
No, well, so classics are good.
We played Carcassonne.
Very nice.
Two expansions. We played Wingspan, which I can't beat Chantel. I beat her once, though. I did beat her this last week. I beat her one time. But she was also taking care of the kids and not paying attention and had, like, no birds.
Hey, take the advantage, man.
I was, like, playing my turn fast, so it would always go back to her, and she couldn't play. And I finally won. And I was like, yes, let's put it away, quick.
It's fine. I can never beat Amy either.
Yeah, I don't know why I'm bad. I'm not sure. I don't know what's happening. I don't understand why I'm bad. I think because it seems like I should be good.
I agree.
Me too. Like,
I think Dan said that his daughter beat him at Wingspan or somebody. Was that what I heard? I saw that somewhere.
I did not hear that.
I always get the best combinations of brown powers and pink powers. And if you're playing with the European expansion, blue powers. Mm-hmm. I have such good birds. And I'm like all game like, oh, you tucked a card? I'll take a resource. Oh, you rolled a mouse? I'll take one too. Like all game. And then I lose bad, like still down by 30. Like what is happening?
Are you putting enough eggs on your board?
I am under the strategy. I'm telling everybody my strategy here. Like the last three rounds, you line up the brown powers in your egg row so you can egg like the last three turns and get all these eggs and then get all these brown
egg
powers.
Those birds.
Yeah. And then like you finish with like 30 points on eggs, not that many, like 15 right. points on eggs, mm-hmm. and it doesn't matter.
I think another thing is not to forget
those.
You
shared your strategy.
Yeah. I mean, it's not working. Not you can try it. It doesn't work.
Well, I'm just saying you have to do that and make sure you're doing top on all the goals every round.
Yeah. Yeah. That sounds better.
What kind of goals do you guys like? The majority goals, or do you like the other side where it's
competitive goals.
Yeah. You like the competitive ones?
Yeah, we have to play that.
If you also want to share your
oh yeah, go ahead and comment
on
your strategies.
Yeah, go to Facebook, YouTube,
Discord.
Put it everywhere so I know what strategies you guys are actually using. Only if you win, though. If you are like 50-50 or don't win, I don't want to hear it because I can do that myself. But if you can win the game.
Apparently you can't.
Oh! That's not true. He got me. But I'm saying, if you can win the game, let me know how you're winning so I can possibly beat my wife so I can sleep in the same bed.
We were able to also get to the table the Harry Potter House Cup competition game, which is going to be coming out soon from The Up, also known as USAopoly. Amy Eggs got to play this, Melissa got to play this, and I did.
What do you think? I love it.
She loves it.
My favorite game is probably Harry Potter Hogwarts Battle.
Mm-hmm. The deck building game's awesome.
But I still really liked this game. It was very different, but still very thematic. So you were still able to like get in the Harry Potter mood, and I liked it a lot. It was fun.
Yeah, this one's a worker placement game, and each player is playing as a specific house that's competing for the cup at the end of the year. And you have three students, so if you're playing Gryffindor, it's, you know, Harry, Hermione, and Ron, and you're sending them to places to get level up their spells. I think it's potions, charms, and defense against the dark arts, so they're learning as they go, and then you need to be at certain levels to tackle challenges and complete lessons. And doing that will give you points, which are actually these plastic gems that you put into things that look like test tubes.
I saw those.
1 point, or is it 10 points?
10 points equals one gem.
10 points.
Makes sense.
So, like in the books and movies, when they're like,
Melissa
30
really told me this.
Yes. 30 points to Gryffindor, and then you get to drop these three gems into your little test tube.
Totally want to put 30 gems in my.
It's three gems.
You got too excited, huh?
It's okay. It's okay. We are going to be doing a live playthrough of this. It's already going to be live but look at our channel and hopefully it's really cool. We'll be all dressed up and stuff like that and maybe have some like Harry Potter paraphernalia too. So go check out YouTube and watch the live play.
I think there might have been some arm wrestling to figure out who was going to be which house and all
of that. Sidekick Lair really, really, really wants to do Hufflepuff. That's what I heard.
Sidekick Lair's powers. Let's go. That would be coming. That'll already be live by the time
already
this
be live.
Is posted.
Yep. Let's jump into a shout out to our one of our episode sponsors.
This episode is sponsored by The Game Steward, your second chance at Kickstarter games. So, say you've missed a Kickstarter. Oh no, all the cool stuff, you didn't get it. Well, you can check out The Game Steward's website and see if they have the Kickstarter version of that game available for you to purchase.
Great website, lots of cool resources. Definitely check that out. Let's roll on into the news.
Just Today in the news, we have three different items to talk about. The first one is new games announced. This one's from Mondo Games. They announced a two-player game called Disney Shadowed Kingdom. This is an epic journey to dispel shadow and discover magic featuring Disney heroes. It really has this like Kingdom Hearts look on the cover. I don't know if it has any of that in the gameplay, but this is a co-op game for two players, and you're enlisting your help of your favorite Disney hero and teaming up, trying to discover the lost magic. And you can, in the game, it has these cards where you're playing them face down in a 2x2 grid and causing these cards to be pushed in either way into the hand of your partner and things like that. And there's each card has different features like magic, shadows, and locations. And you're going to have special powers that you're going to be able to activate throughout the course of your journey. And to win, you need to max out your magic tracker before the shadow tracker is full. So check that out, coming soon from Mondo Games, Disney Shadowed Kingdom. Sarah.
August 17th, 524 Labs rebranded to the game company Poketo. You may recognize the name as the publisher of the Mint series. So they have Mintworks, Mint Delivery, and Mint Control. The new Poketo brand maintains the company's focus on fun portable games while opening the door for new products outside the Mint series. This new branding showcases how their games are easy to travel with and how they take gamers on a journey by providing big gameplay in very small packages. Melissa.
In pop culture, Ravensburger is going to publish the Princess Bride Adventure Book Game. This is for 1 to 4 players. It says it plays in 15 to 90 minutes. So I guess it depends on how well you've done in that adventure. The game has 6 chapters that you're going to be working through that basically tell the story of the Princess Bride, and you're working together, this is cooperative, despite interruptions from a sick grandson. Now, Jonah, they say that the boards is a book of game boards, so I'm not sure if this is exactly like a scenario book.
Okay.
It's very possible from the description.
I'm a big fan. If you've seen anything I put out, I like the scenario books. It makes it so, I mean, we were just talking about Gloomhaven.
Right.
Going back 3 pages, forgetting cards, forgetting tokens and tiles. You just don't have that problem. I like it.
Cool.
So it's going to have miniatures for Wesley, Princess Buttercup, Prince Humperdinck, Count Rugen, Vizini, Inigo, Montoya, and Fezzik.
Let's kick that Kickstarter conniption off.
Kickstarter conniption.
This episode will be talking about 3 different campaigns coming to Kickstarter the week of August 24th, 2020. Kevin, start us off.
On August 24th, Dr. Finn's Games will be launching a campaign for 4 games on his campaign. And we're going to be talking about 2 of them here in just a second. The other 2 that we won't be talking about is Nanga Parbat and the Butterfly Garden. But we were going to be talking about Mining Colony. Will wanted to jump in on that.
I just feel like we just talked about them. You said we weren't going to, and then you talked about them.
I'm going to talk in depth about Mining Colony, which is a game for 1 to 4 players. It takes about 30 to 60 minutes to play. This is a tile-laying space game where you're actually sort of auctioning off these different groupings of resources and items every round. There is, depending on the player count, a 2 to 4 different groups of items and resources that you're playing, numbered cards from your hand, and whoever has the highest number gets to pick first, and you're taking those resources, items, and putting them on your own player board, which represents your own mining colony on the whatever, it's not Mars, but it's another Earth-like planet, where you are building up your mining colony, and the tiles you're laying down are Tetris-like tiles. You're trying to fill your whole board because at the end, any unfilled spaces will be negative points. And it's kind of interesting because not only are you trying to fill out your board with these Tetris-like pieces, but you also are placing items, resources, and colonists and spaceships on top of those Tetris-type pieces. So it's got this like multiple building thing going on in the game and getting extra outposts and research stations and things like that. So yeah, we played it. 2-player, it goes up to 4-player, and you can check that out, Mining Colony. The other one is?
The other game that we're going to talk about out of the four is Bibliost Quill and Parchment, and this is a roll-and-write game in the Bibliost universe, which Dr. Finn also published and designed. And this game has 2 phases, kind of like the regular Bibliost. You're going to play it in 8 rounds. In the first 4 rounds, players are rolling their own dice, and they have 3 different types of dice. And based on the results, you're going to be going up tracks, traveling along a path, copying books, getting influence. And then after the first 4 rounds, once you get into rounds 5 through 8, you are going to be spending the influence that you earned during the first 4 phases to draft a set of dice that have already been rolled. So the style of game switches in that second half, but you're still able to advance in a lot of the same areas that you're advancing in the first half mm-hmm. of the game. But now instead of personally rolling the dice, you are bidding on sets of dice that have already been rolled. It was really interesting. There's 2 sides to the board, so there's a more advanced version mm-hmm. and a regular version, and I really enjoyed playing this one.
If you're already familiar with Bibliost, some of the similarities are going to be in the colored dice. In Bibliost, you score based on how well, the different colors, the pips are higher or lower. The same idea is in Bibliost Quill and Parchment. There's ways to adjust the pip value, and if you are high up in the different tracks, you'll be able to score more points based on the different colored dice.
Yes, and there's 1 grouping of dice that you bid on that lets you influence the dice values for the different tracks.
It's called the embellishment die.
Ooh, the embellishment die. Yes, it has this monk, scribe, quill sort of theme to it. There's also the church altar track, which is really important, too.
Chapel track, super important.
For ties and things like that. Mm. I really got shafted one game because I was lowest in the chapel.
Didn't go to church.
I know, yep.
You got to go up the pews to get closer to the altar.
On your knees.
That's right.
So that is Bibliost Quill and Parchment, and it's part of the group of games that Dr. Stephen will be launching on Kickstarter. Jonah.
Coming to Kickstarter on August 25th is Galaxy Hunters from IDW Games. This game is for 2 to 4 players, and it actually features Euro-style worker placement, mech customization, and character progression. So in this game, it says it's going to take about 60 to 90 minutes to play, so just keep that in mind. But in this game, you are mercenaries hired by Megacorp to hunt and harvest rampant mutations. So it actually has a pretty cool character ability. So like there's pilots and mechs, and if you pair different pilots with mechs, you unlock new powers and special abilities. So that's your mech customization and kind of player development there. And it also uses, like I mentioned, the worker placement. So it comes with miniatures. So if you're a big fan of miniatures, these miniatures look pretty good. They also seem like you'd be able to paint them if you're interested in doing that.
Cool.
And the game looks pretty sharp, if I have to say so myself. So this is actually a reboot on Kickstarter. IDW tried to launch Galaxy Hunters back in 2018. They got about halfway with the money raised, and then they decided to cancel and go rework some things, and so they're bringing it back August 25th. But again, this is a set collection, worker placement, character development type game, and that'll be coming out this week. Will, what game do you have?
I'm looking at Die of the Dead from Radical 8 Games. Sarah and I had a chance to get this on the table just yesterday. It's a 2-5 player, lots of interesting mechanics game.
Yeah, there weren't that many things that fit the typical categories on BGG, and I felt like it should have, but I was having a hard time coming up with a list of mechanics.
I just saw some pictures, and there's die, like
there's dice
in caskets or something.
Yes.
Yeah, it's pretty slick. It's technically like an action selection game. You've got four caskets, so it's themed after
Dia de Muertos.
Mariposas.
Yeah, exactly. Not even going to try to pronounce the words today. In the game, you are attempting to get your souls, which are your dice, up this cool little cardboard 9-step, 13-step, how many steps is it? 9-step marigold stairway. And you will do that by progressing your die through these four caskets. And each casket, each slot has an action that you can select. And you can choose any one of the four. So you could choose to prepare some of your dice by putting them on your player board. You could put some of your prepared dice into a casket. You could shake some dice around and the losers get kicked out of a casket. Or if you can make it to the final casket, same thing. You shake it with the lid on so you don't know what it is. You reveal it. Whatever dice are inside, the highest die are going to get to climb up those stairs. It's not always going to be your dice, so you may not want to pick that casket. And so first off, it's a memory game because you have to remember, how many of my dice were in the red casket? I don't remember. And then there's a little bit of a luck to it because you are, you know, shaking it and hoping that you've been able to stack the casket with mostly your die color so that you can get yours onto the steps.
Yeah, and in the game, if you can't happen to remember where your dice are, there are some other ways to mitigate that. A couple of the actions, or even if you're able to get your dice up on some stairs, there are little tokens that go with some specific actions, and you gain the tokens and they help you, like, oh, peek in one of the caskets or stuff like that to help you along the way if you forget or aren't sure what you're doing.
Right. Those tokens can be really valuable because some of them may allow you to swap the location of two caskets before another player's turn or before your turn. So there's a lot of, like, last minute, oh, I'm playing a token on your turn. Now the casket that you were just getting ready to shake is the casket that has all my dice in it. You could actually win, like, somebody else could win the game for you on their turn if you do it right.
Yeah, they did a great job with incorporating the theme and all the cultural things that go along with Day of the Dead that takes place in that holiday in Mexico.
Have you guys seen Coco?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep, it's been a while. Is this the soundtrack? Now we can't monetize this.
When you said remember the die.
Yeah, it's got a great little ramp up to it. It's a really easy game to jump into. There's some variable player, or not, yeah, there are some variable player powers. There's also all the bonus tokens in the game are like the words.
The action cards that go with them are all double-sided. So if you can't, or you can set it up differently, and it goes up to five players. So
the placards, I don't know, what that's the word I was looking for, where the action tokens are flippable, so you can get a different variety every time. Cool stuff. Yep, that is Die of the Dead. Check it out on Kickstarter now. We will have a preview video of it on the channel probably by the time this goes live.
Definitely. That wraps up the Kickstarter conniption.
It does. So what other cool stuff do we need to talk about? There's a couple different live videos that you probably will already have missed by the time this is out.
Yes, we had Stringamajig and Funky Fruit. And, of course, we mentioned the Harry Potter House Cup competition. That's like a really weird way of, like, real tongue twister.
You nailed it, though. I'm not having the words today. You did a great job navigating that. We've also got some events coming up. We have our 24-hour Game-a-thon, which is going to be happening on September 18th. We're going to be live streaming for 24 straight hours, playing all kinds of cool board games. If you're interested in suggesting some games to us, you can do that on Discord. We've set up a Discord channel. I don't know how you find that, but one of our interns could probably tell you how. But no one's going to tune in. Tantrum_house, maybe?
I think in Discord, you're going to have to go to one of our social medias or something.
And find a link.
Maybe we can put a link on our website. Because we can do a link that never goes away or something. I think that's definitely possible.
We're learning these things.
If they're in Discord and they just search Tantrum House, we'll pop up.
Yay! Wow, do so that. Cool. Find us and chat with us. There's a channel for our 24-hour game-a-thon, so we're taking suggestions now for the games that we're going to play during that. If you're on Discord, you may also want to join us for our Twitch everything. Twitch everything.
What?
Yeah, tell us about this, Amy Eggs.
So, we have a Twitch channel.
We do!
Tantrum House Twitch!
So it's twitch.tv/tantrum_house. Go there, follow us, chat with us.
Can they just go to Twitch and search Tantrum House? Maybe not yet, since we don't have any content.
By the time this is live next week, should be able to.
Okay, cool.
I'm not sure if there's another channel that's Tantrum House. So
we'll have to find that.
Our logo.
And we'll have to get that.
You'll find the right place.
Yeah, you know the logo, but it is Tantrum_House.
But cool. By the time this goes live, we'll have already had our top secret first test run, which is actually happening in real time tomorrow.
What are we going to try out?
Tell us, Amy.
So there's a social deduction game called Among Us. It's fairly popular on Twitch right now. There's a couple big groups playing it. And it's basically everyone's a little astronaut.
Sweet.
And depending on how many players total, there can be one, two, or three imposters.
What?
I didn't know there could be more than one.
Mm.
Oh, interesting.
There probably couldn't be in our little four-player test run, but...
Right. So, if I'm not mistaken, by the time you hear this, you'll have to go back and watch us on the Twitch VOD.
Yes, there will be a Twitch VOD on our channel, Twitch channel.
Perfect, but I'm going to go ahead and say you're going to want to go back and watch it because it's super funny.
Is it really fun to watch?
It's fun.
It's fun to play. Hopefully it's fun to watch. We'll find out.
I'm assuming since it's fun to play, it'll be fun to watch and hear us play.
Yeah, listening to Dan yell or Jonah yell at Dan should be fun.
That was pretty funny. We were trying it out, and it was quite a hilarity going on.
We had really no idea what we were doing. It was like literally, Jonah downloaded it, Dan downloaded it. Let's try it out. See, so we don't look like total fools. We'll let Sarah and Melissa be total fools tomorrow night.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Appreciate it.
But you guys just tried it out online. You weren't doing it through Twitch yet.
No. We were just getting the practice. I tried to level up my character, but I realized there were no levels. But I still wanted to practice.
You can do that in Discord, though.
Because I didn't want to be at the bottom. Like Sarah and Melissa tomorrow.
Yes. You can level up your hat type.
Oh, perfect.
Get bigger hats.
Oh, okay.
You have to pay for that.
No, your hats are free.
You can be leveling up our hats.
Yeah. I was a cowboy.
Jonah's going to have a sick hat tomorrow.
I was a cowboy, but I'm going to search the whole inventory and find the best hat.
Now, if you want a pet, you got to pay for your pet.
Pay for the pet.
It follows you around.
I feel like you wouldn't want people to know. Jonah's strategy was, I'm changing the name of my player.
I'm changing the name of my player every game because you guys are going to try to gang up on me. I know you guys. So I have to change the name so you don't know who I am.
But if you're the same color.
I'm going to change the color too. And hat. I got a whole. I'm gonna have like different sets.
It's okay. So Will gang up on me. I just wasn't there, so there was no one for Will to gang up on.
You're gonna be the only one who changes names every single game. Oh, so yeah. It's gonna then be so obvious who you are.
Everybody else has the same name. I wonder who Jonah is.
That's funny.
Who's I didn't think Sam? That through.
I'm totally gonna be Jonah.
That's funny. I didn't think that through. I have to redo my whole strategy.
More than one of us change.
There we go.
We'll help you out, Jonah.
There we go.
I can tell it's already going to be fun. I'm looking forward to it. So we're going to be on, go back and watch the VOD. We are going to be playing it on Twitch, and we'll have a recording of it. But hopefully this will become a semi-regular thing. Amy is going to be running the channel for us. Give us kind of a quick idea of what your schedule might look like, because I know we're going to try to jump in like when we can, but you're going to be doing this pretty regularly. What does it look like, the Tantrum House Twitch?
So we'll post an official schedule on our Twitch channel once we get it all ironed out. But most likely it's going to be Thursday, Friday, and Saturday evenings. And we'll try to get some Tuesdays in there as well.
That would be fantastic. Cool. I think Tuesdays work well for the rest of us. So maybe Tuesday will be the full house action and then Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
So what kind of things will we be seeing on the Tantrum House Twitch channel?
Games.
any fun games like League of
Only
Legends?
Only fun games. There will be no unfun games.
League of Legends?
I'm a big League of Legends.
Wow, you have no will problem over there.
It's contagious.
It is.
I'm a League of Legends fan.
Cool.
Playing some Minecraft as well.
Okay.
And hopefully we can get some beta testing games going too, similar to what we do with board games.
Speaking of Minecraft, I heard someone created Gen Con, the inside of Gen Con in Minecraft. What? Did you hear this, Psychic Larry?
Yes. No. Yes, they did. It was massive. I haven't taken a look at it, but I've heard that it was.
Yeah, I want to know, were there like...
They have what? Sponsored like...
Yeah, no booths? Sponsors, but I think I wonder if they had booths in there and like...
The booths don't change all that much.
I know.
They have a hard...
But they said it was like the whole convention center, which...
Yeah,
and
they mapped it.
The Lucas Oil Stadium?
They mapped it according to like a couple years ago.
Card Hollow was in there.
Yeah.
Wow.
I'll take my kids and log in there and check it out. I want to see it.
I want to see it too.
Well, maybe we can get a walkthrough of that on the Twitch channel. Was that the suggestion?
That's a hint.
Hint suggestion. Taken. Got it. Write that down.
That'd be fun. Cool. So Minecraft, League of Legends, maybe some special upcoming games that we might see beta testing, like whether they're board games or video games, right? Either mm-hmm. one's possible?
Yeah, cool. Of course. Cool. It'll be mainly video games, but we'd love to throw some board games in there as well.
Maybe some board game apps.
Mm-hmm. And that we can like play on Steam and stuff like that?
Yeah, or cool. even on iPad and mobile devices.
Cool.
Yeah, definitely. Well, it sounds exciting. We are looking forward to that. I think we've already got some subscribers, followers, somethings. I don't know what they're called.
Followers
in Twitch already, which is excellent. We don't even have any content yet, so I'm excited to be able to get some content on there to be able to start interacting with folks. We've been having lots of fun on Discord as well. Really, if you are on Discord, come and join us. It's too fun.
Nonstop.
It's keeping me awake at night. I'm like trying to go to sleep and like, oh, wait, another funny picture. Love it. Anyway, hope you guys have been having a fun time. Stay healthy. Stay well. Keep playing board games. Connect with us where you can. We'll catch you guys next week.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Tantrum House Board Game Podcast. If you liked any part of this at all, find and follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and tantrumhouse.com. Like us, share us, email us, call us, or send us a postcard to Tantrum House, 306 Barry Drive, that's B-A-R-R-Y, Greer, South Carolina, 29650.